Welcome, sports fans, to the Windmill Sports Show, coming to you live on ESPN at the Windmill Racing Sportsbook, located at the Club County. I'm here with Josh Nagel from Sportsline. I'm your host, Kenny B, here with Josh Nagel from Sportsline. John the Hawk Stevens, he's parking right now, but that means he's going to be coming up those stairs, going to the bar, getting a couple of beers, and then he'll be with us. So probably five minutes. Josh?
All right. Well, Ken, it's an interesting Friday night, lots of NFL preseason going on. But as I mentioned to you, before the show, tomorrow we officially, it's here. College football games that count and a couple of fairly decent matchups. So I'm getting excited about that. We mentioned before the show, your William Hill College Football Contest is live for anyone who wants to play that. So I'll probably put that in before leaving here tonight. But I just can't believe, dog days of summer officially gone.
I know.
The games count.
Is it tomorrow?
A week from tonight, right? Nevada-Purdue.
Yes. We'll get to that real quick. We talked a little bit about that game. The Nevada game opened up at the Pack being a 9-point dog, and I kind of made the call. I told you John would be coming up with a couple of pops in his hand. But with that being said, it's already went to 10.
The days of 8.5, and even 9 are gone, to 10.
Yeah, so we'll get to that in a little bit. So let's John the Hawk Stevens, let's get him mic'd up. Josh, what's the line and stuff on tomorrow's games?
Well, there's been a little bit of movement. Miami against Florida. And right now it's back to 7.5. It opened 7.5. There was a flat 7 for a while, and it looks like the Gators are getting the share of attention because now it looks like it's back to 7.5. The total's down to 46. There's been quite a bit of movement to the under because I believe that opened even 49. So people think that's going to be a low-scoring grinder. Then Arizona-Hawaii, the same thing. It's moved a little bit, but now it looks like it's back to Arizona minus 11 with a total of 74. The Florida-Miami one I think is a tough game because Florida's expected to be pretty good. They have a pretty good supporting cast coming back. The quarterback, Felipe Franks, has been there a few years. Dan Mullen's second year coming over from Mississippi State. They got the offense going. People expect Miami to struggle. It's interesting because, I sort of was on the wrong side of them a few times last year. They won real good season under Mark Richt a couple years ago. They kind of fell apart last year. John, you realize Mark Richt retired. It's Manny Diaz, who's, first-time head coach. He actually took the job at Temple until Richt retired and came back 3 days later. It was one of those things where he did a quick about-face and, came back from a job he had left for. But because he'd been the defensive coordinator for a long time. To me, this one's just tough because Miami just named quarterback, but it was kind of like the unlikely candidate. It's a redshirt freshman named Jared Williams. I just think Florida will be ahead of them. And obviously, this is a lot of points, especially with that total. People expect this to be sort of a defensive. Both teams are young along the offensive line, and it could be a defensive-oriented game. But I also think it could be kind of like Florida 24-6 type.
That's
of thing.
Exactly what I think it's going to be. I think the line is about what it should be. I think Florida's going to. A much better team all the way around. Franks, he's been there a while, but...
Yeah, and a couple of years ago, boy, he was raw. Like, they just threw him to the wolves, right, under their previous coaching regime, and they didn't have much around him. I thought he did okay under the circumstances.
Yeah.
And then last year, he really improved because turnovers used to be an issue for him. But last year, completion percentage went up at 24 touchdowns against just 6 picks. That's pretty good.
Yeah, as a Florida State backer, this is a nightmare of a game for me. But it's easy... Now that Miami's an Adidas school, it just doesn't look right to me. You know what I mean? That's one of the charter Nike swagger schools. I don't know. I love when these two teams play. I think it's because they don't do it all the time.
Right.
And it's a special thing. I like that they have an opening weekend, the first big game, I should say, of the year. Right. I don't know. I think Florida's going to handle them though. That defense is just so fast and so big and just.
The last time they played a few years ago, because I remember that was actually a true home game for Miami, but that was a few years back before, I think, when Al Golden was still around, even before the Mark Richt era. I remember Miami was like a 4.5-point home dog. It actually blew out Florida. So, the rivalry, that intensity remains. But, right, this time is, quote-unquote, neutral field. Can't be World Stadium in Orlando, kind of neutral for both Florida locations. But same thing. I just expect Florida personnel-wise to be a little bit ahead of Miami, especially now. So inexperienced at quarterback, and they don't have a lot. And in terms of returning, receivers and running backs, things like that. So,
and I mean, Florida has legitimate playoff aspirations.
I agree because they have to do. Yeah, they have to overcome Georgia. That's basically
that's it.
Win that game, and they're in the SEC title game.
That's it.
And they did that a couple years in a row. Yeah.
And I'm the number 8 in the country. I'm no fan of the Gators, but I think college football is better when the Gators are a factor, and they're going to be right there. I think personnel-wise, I don't think this is close, Josh. I really don't.
I don't either. That's why I'm surprised to see. I'm not surprised it went back up to 7.5. Was for a while when there was quite a bit of sentiment to Miami. But the more I look at it, and especially in depth this week, looked at it a little harder, I think, you know what, especially coming out of the gates, Miami might improve as the season goes on. We'll get rookie head coach, rookie quarterback. I think Florida, yeah, and it could be this tight defensive grinder, but still one in which a couple scores, you know, makes all the difference. And wouldn't be surprised there to see Florida kind of pull ahead at some point and stay there.
I'm kind of with you guys. I was kind of looking at this game. You know, last year Florida was 10-3. You know, Miami 7-6. They had a pretty good stretch where they, you know, they had the turnover chain and things were going their way. But you know, they ended up finishing the, you know, just one game over 500 last year.
Right.
And it goes back to what you guys are saying. You know, and Florida's expectations this year being the number eighth ranked preseason team in the country. You know, they're right there. I mean, and like John said, you know, they're looking for legitimately looking, you know, for playoff aspirations. So, and I'm with you guys. You know, the one thing that I hate, though, and I hate lining up with the public on one side. Everybody's on Florida. Absolutely everybody's on Florida, guys.
Yeah, that's tough, Kim. But you know what? I have a similar dilemma in the late game because you got Arizona against Hawaii. I've also sort of reversed course on this one because at first I look back, realize Hawaii, Nick Rolovich, one of the biggest overachievers in the country last year. Because I remember, you know, their season win total, if you want to bet that over-under, they had like no returning talent. Their season win total was 2.5, 2.5, and they started 3-0. If you took the over on Hawaii, you cashed by week three. They ended up with 8 wins despite some rough patches in the late go. But still, last game of the year.
Well, they getting like 24 against Colorado State?
Yeah, well, 17. Yeah, they upset San Diego State also last week of the season as an 18-point dog.
I love Rolo.
So they actually did their thing. Like, you know, they struggled at points, but they came out of the gates. Yeah, 17.5-point dog to Colorado State. And then, John, next week, 10-point home dog to Navy. Remember that? And blew them out. So they and then they beat some – I forget, the third team was bad.
I root for Rolovich and Hawaii 11 out of 12 games.
Right. Well, so Cole McDonald, I mean, that's the big thing. Their quarterback came out seemingly nowhere. As a sophomore last year, allowed Rolovich to go back to it. He didn't have the personnel. He wanted to do kind of the old run-and-shoot thing. They're doing it again. And so my first thought was, you know, so 8-win team out of nowhere. And this time, you know, you look at Street and Smith or the Steel magazine, you see, wow, Hawaii's got – you know, almost 8-9 starters back on both sides of the ball, coming off a pretty good year at Aloha Stadium. You know, season opener, you figure they're going to be a raucous crowd. And you think that those are points that you just want to pocket. But then I look at the Arizona side, it's like, man, it's kind of hard to argue. The more I've looked into it, here's the big thing is I've actually read up significantly in Arizona this week. Yeah. You know, last year they came out of, you know, Kevin Sumlin, who I've always thought was a tad overrated, comes in from Texas A&M. They were a trendy pick to, oh, they're going to win the Pac-12 or they could be awesome, 5-7. And I wasn't surprised mainly because, the dual threat quarterback, Khalil Tate, was a Heisman contender. It looked like someone basically tried to turn him into, you know, Tom Brady. I mean, they turned him into a pocket passer when the guy has that lethal speed. And it's looking like, from everything I read, that they're going to try to let him run a little bit more, but someone said conditioning was like a huge factor. He said he showed up and everyone was out of shape. They couldn't do up-tempo, but everyone's on board now. And, again, it's one of those things from a pure personnel standpoint, Arizona should have the edge. But, John, I'm convinced this is one of those. That it's either Arizona, like, 59-10 or Hawaii outright. It won't be close to the number.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tempting for me. I was thinking about it just before I left my office today. I spent, you know, last hour looking at lines. But, don't say that. I think the old two-team teaser is in play for me with Hawaii.
Favorite or dog?
Favorite dog.
Florida just to win, and then Hawaii with a few extra points.
Yep.
You know, Hawaii at home. This is the first true road game that Arizona's played since 2010.
Yeah.
So just so you know, it was against Toledo. They beat Toledo 41-2, John. 41-2.
Do you like my restraint that I didn't drop a holy Toledo on you right there?
Yeah, yeah. So with that being
Bill
said,
King.
And the number in this game right now, I was just looking right now, the updated line for this game is Arizona minus 11, and the total, like you said, Josh, 73.5. I mean, that's a ton of points, but you know, it's largely going to depend on the legs and the arm of Tate, you know, the quarterback for Arizona.
Right. And they also have Ken. It's probably one of the top running back and quarterback duos in the country. The running back J.J. Taylor, 1,400 yards last year too. So those top two, again, as long as they're allowed to kind of, they'll do their thing and get out on the perimeter. Sumlin, you know, does he improve? Do you cut him some slack? At 5-7, that was unacceptable because he had the same guys last year. I remember they got beat up pretty good by BYU in the first week. I mean, Arizona just went downhill. And they got better later in the year, but still, they also gave up a ton of points. I don't know if their defense is any better. So still, my first instinct, my real inclination is to say, yeah, take Hawaii in that handful of points. Yet the bottom line is it's still Pac-12 personnel. versus Hawaii. And you just think if, you know, if the talent wins out, Arizona should blow them out.
Cole McDonald returns as the quarterback for Hawaii. You know, he had a pretty good year last year. He finished sixth in the country in passing TDs with 36.
Right, and 3,800 yards.
Yeah, 3,800 yards, which actually tied him or put him in the number eight spot.
There?
No, he's the one. He was the kid that went to Seattle.
Oh, okay,
Cedric Bird.
Yeah,
and he had 79 catches, 970 yards, and 9 TDs. And JoJo Ward too. You know, but he'll be back. Hold on a second. Excuse me. Yeah, his favorite target went to the Seattle, but the senior wide receiver, Cedric Bird, is back. I said that wrong.
Gotcha.
So with that being said, you know, game one, you're headed to the islands. You know, it's tough, man. I would say the heat's going to get them, but it is Arizona. They are from Tucson.
Well, the humidity.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
That's, you know, it's like swimming when you're walking in Honolulu.
Okay.
And again, I read up about that because you want to see about distractions and whatnot. And Kevin Sumlin, you know, he's kind of funny. He's like, but you know what? Yeah, we're in Arizona. We've seen palm trees before. You know, he's like, oh, this isn't a big deal. We're not going to get, you know, seduced by all that. I'm like, yeah, I'm sure many have said that before and it still happened.
Yeah.
But, you know, the last time Arizona played Hawaii, I heard was way back. It was like 92. Arizona went 12-1. It was actually national title contender.
Yeah.
And it was 25 odd years ago. And they blew them out then.
Ortiz Jenkins.
They basically haven't played them since, but they have.
Right.
What's that?
Ortiz Jenkins?
Yeah. Hawaii starts the year actually with 3 Pac-12 opponents. So you got to see right out of the gate what they're made of because, I mean, there's no soft spots in their schedule. So
absolutely. You know, and so I'm with you guys. It's going to be a little bit of a wait and see tomorrow. But aren't you guys excited? We talk about this all the time. Is we finally have a get – we're to the get even. What, 6 weeks this year we get to have Hawaii late games in Hawaii, John,
love
at
it.
9 p.m.?
Hold on, sorry.
And John's tomorrow will be a bit of a dress rehearsal, right? See what people lost in the first game. And
yeah, so that's the late game with Arizona sitting in as an 11-point favorite and the total of 73. The first game, right, I was checking that too. Florida's -7, so they're a flat touchdown favorite at 46. You know, with the defensive – I mean I like this game to go under the 46, going back to the Miami-Florida game. I like the game to go under. I think it's going to be, you know, Miami or one of these teams is going to have trouble scoring.
I don't think Miami gets to 14.
Well, there you go. So, and I think that, you know, they'll be able to control the ball, run the ball, and, you know, it's just that's where my money's going to go in the first week.
Yeah.
You know, Miami,
defensive line for the Gators is just, come on, man.
Yeah.
It's just like Clemson and Alabama. It's that same style of just athlete, just kick you in the mouth.
Yeah. And Miami owns, you know, 29-26, so these teams play pretty evenly throughout the years. Huge in-state rivalry. I mean, and I just think when the first game of the year, I don't see a whole lot of explosive offensive production out of either one of these guys or either one of these teams.
Probably a good call.
So I mean, I would tend to think that both teams are going to be in the mid 20s, and I think the game goes under the 46. I think it's going to be like 21-23, something like that. And there's going to be a quarter where there's no scoring. That's basically where I'm headed, Josh. What am I handicapping angles?
Yeah, that's a real tight, you know, total, Ken. But I agree. It'd probably be a defensive oriented game. And on the flip side, right, Arizona Hawaii. That looks like a sky high total for, you know, season opening game in 74. But here's the funny thing. You know, Hawaii allowed 35 points a game last year. And they don't look to have gotten a lot. And Arizona allowed about 35 points a game. And then when you realize you watch those Hawaii games again, they seem to like the last 7 hours, and every play is a 15-yard. You know, the clock's always stopped because every play is a first down. And you realize it's really not that hard to envision it like 28-all 5 minutes into the second quarter.
Ooh.
I mean, I'm serious. As high as that total appears, I might go over because I think the tempo will be there.
I agree. I wouldn't bet a Hawaii game under this time of year, or any time of year for that matter. But, yeah, I'm not afraid to bet that over.
No.
Under over. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, there you go. So
that's how I'm living.
So, John, you like a two-team teaser. You like to tease Florida down just to win,
yes.
And then you want to tease Hawaii up to over two touchdowns.
Over the key number, it's 11.5, right?
11.
So over the key number of 17.
Yeah, well, so. 13. 14 yeah. and 17.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, you get all those numbers. And those are key numbers, especially when the total is 73.
Yeah.
73.5 right now. So I can see that, John. I can see that. I think I'd much rather have Hawaii in this spot at home plus two touchdowns plus and the game to go over 73 maybe in the first week. You know, later in the year, maybe I would have changed my mind a little bit. But, you know, I really don't know a whole lot, or I haven't seen a whole lot, obviously.
It comes down to I've never had whiskey with Kevin Sumlin. I've had whiskey with Nick Rolovich.
There you go.
So I'm going to side on the err on the side of whiskey.
Josh, is that a valid handicapping angle?
Well, to each his own. To John, it is. So he can do whatever as he chooses.
Every decision I make is based on that, and I'm not a very good decision maker, right, as we found out. So
you have some good ones and some bad ones.
Yeah.
You know. So trying to see what else we got here. So those are the first two games that are going next week, and then obviously next Thursday. You know, before we go on. Oh, we'll be on a little bit early next week because we'll be on before the Wolfpack game. Is it 6 or 6:30?
6:30.
So we'll be on early, Josh. Don't forget, and John, don't forget that. But yeah. You know. And there's a bunch of other Thursday night games, too, that, you know, I want to get your guys' opinion on, you know, because we're going to be missing those. And you can find, you know, now that we're in the full swing of football season or getting ready to be in the full swing of football season, you know, we'll be posting a lot of our stuff on our Facebook page at Kenny B ESPN Sports Handicapping. Kenny B ESPN Sports Handicapping. But I want to get your guys' opinion on some of these other games. You know, I'm looking at these Thursday games that are going to go off. Clemson versus Georgia Tech. That's next Thursday. UCLA, Cincinnati. I want to get your guys' opinions about that. And maybe, Josh, have you researched any of these games?
I have.
Okay, good deal. And the great San Jose State Spartans play next Thursday. That's all. That's awesome. And Utah BYU. So there's some good games I want to talk about. Yep. So let's head off to our first commercial break. When we come back, we'll jump into the games that are going to be next Thursday and be played before on next week. So William Hill Sports Show, ESPN, 94.5 FM.
All right, welcome back to the William Hill Sports Show, ESPN 94.5 FM. Ken Barler tending to some business here at the Club Calneva. So for the time being, Josh Nagel, John Stevens will keep the conversation going on college football. And as we left off, talking about the Saturday doubleheader, we pretty much got you covered there. So, again, Miami against Florida, 4 p.m. our time, Arizona, Hawaii, 7:30. That's the doubleheader. And since we won't be on the air again until these games happen, we're going to take a quick look at the Thursday games. 4 p.m., UCLA against Cincinnati, Cincinnati minus 3, total of 60.5. This line's gone down a little bit from 3.5. You know, Cincinnati had that big year. Their Luke Fickell last year, kind of unlikely, but breakout year for them. UCLA, you know, really struggled under Chip Kelly. The idea is that, you know, they're supposed to be a lot better in this upcoming season. There's a lot of sentiment for UCLA in that game, but from what I've seen, I think Cincinnati's going to be pretty good again. I would back them for the time being.
Where's this game being played?
It's at, at Cincinnati.
At Cincinnati. You all right there? You good? Need some water?
I will be.
All right. It's – Chip Kelly's, you know, I believe in him as a college coach. I believe in his system. I think he proved that at Oregon, obviously. And once he starts getting his athletes in there and that fit his mold, you know, we're in year two of it. Year three is when you're really going to reap those benefits, I believe. So I expect them to be improved. I don't expect them to compete for the Pac-12 or anything, but I expect them to be improved this game itself. Yeah, I think it's got to be Cincinnati or nothing right now. And I think the 3 is a little light.
Yeah, I do too. Like I said, it's open at 3.5, which is why the underdog sentiment drove it down. But I just realized, too, 60.5 seems like an awfully high total as well, because you realize Cincinnati, Luke Fickell's an Ohio State guy who's a defensive coordinator. He's sort of rebuilt that program with that defensive mindset. I mean, they could score a little bit too. But 60, that's more of an all Pac-12 total than, you know, the one involving Cincinnati.
You know, and that kind of leads me to think that the Bruins are live here. Because they're expecting some points, obviously, out of UCLA at only 3. So Bruins are obviously live here, but 60 seems like a lot, man.
Right. Another game people want to see, 5 p.m., you know, defending champion Clemson takes the field for the first time there. 36-point favorite against Georgia Tech. You realize it's a Georgia Tech, it's kind of a new, you know, day for them because Paul Johnson, the triple option guy, finally retired.
Man.
They're pretty much good for anywhere between, you know, 6-6 and 9-3 every year.
And one huge upset.
Exactly. You usually would pull one, but you know, whether you like the error or not, it's over. So they, you know, he finally got out of there and they hired Jeff Collins. They hired the coach from Temple, Jeff Collins. We'll see.
Such a Georgia Tech move.
Exactly. I don't know what, you know, he'd like to run. I don't think he really did much of anything other than ride the other guy. The guy's at Baylor now, Matt Rhule, his coattails at Temple. I don't know if Collins really proven himself, but whatever. But nonetheless, here's the thing. Clemson's minus 36. We know Dabo, against lesser teams, it's pretty clear that Clemson probably could name the score if it wanted to. But with huge spreads like this, they usually don't. Clemson tends to really kind of, you know, back off a little bit, run the ball. What you really want to get them is, you know, Clemson in an ACC game against somebody.
That's what I was just going to say.
Yeah, they'll be relentless against a good opponent. But against when they're favored, they usually don't just run it down your throat.
But the fact that it is a conference game.
It's true.
You know, that says a little something.
I mean, Georgia Tech just has to have a pulse. Really, I'm sure you do realize, but 36, man. I mean,
that's
so many points.
So what offense are the Jackets going to run? Do we know?
I have no idea, really, other than – but, you know, what they ran at Temple wasn't too bad. It was kind of a spread option type of thing. Yeah. They ended up, you know, they had some pretty decent athletes, right? Temple was keeping up with the likes of UCF and Memphis in that conference.
If I could ask Calvin Johnson one thing –
you would say, why did you go to Georgia Tech?
Why did you go to Georgia Tech?
Demaryius Thomas, too, right?
Yes. What are you doing?
But it's like the one running back at Washington State. I mean, you know you'll see it a lot.
Exactly.
So I guess at Georgia Tech, the five times they throw in a game, you're probably get a pretty good situation.
But, I mean, just – and they still produce, though, Calvin Johnson and Demaryius Thomas.
Enough to get drafted.
And high.
That's what I mean. You know, that's what's crazy.
I never understood that, but – whatever, you know, just like Larry Fitzgerald going to Pitt was something else too. But it's this game, 36, Josh, I'm kind of with you. But the fact that it is a conference game, I think you put a little more emphasis on that.
I don't know. National champions, you know.
Trevor Lawrence.
Like an NFL preseason game, though, because Dabo also does like to, I give him credit, he develops his depth in games like these. Because you never know. Remember last year, they were down to their third-string quarterback against Syracuse because of injuries, and he had to go in there and win them the game. So he might just say, hey, second half, or let's see who we've got out there and sort of make it like a glorified scrimmage if the outcome's
in hand. Think we've reached the point where Clemson is like Alabama or Oklahoma or Ohio State, where when you get down to that third string, they're still better than you.
Right, right.
So it's they're that team now, and what I'm not taking 36, but I'm probably not going to lay it. I'll probably just sit back.
What
and watch.
Concerns me with this game is Georgia Tech installing a new offense. That's
exactly
what concerns me. If I knew that Georgia Tech was going to come in and run the option,
if this was Paul Johnson,
I'm on Georgia Tech all day.
I'll put my car. 100%. I'll put my car on.
100%.
Right, but if it was Paul Johnson, the spread would be closer to like 21.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
That would be more built-in respect there.
No, exactly.
Because
they
played him tough historically.
Of course they have, and. You know, and that's also another thing. There's another side to that coin of being a conference game that Georgia Tech is familiar with Clemson. Georgia Tech wants to be that thorn in their paw. That wasn't even a tiger pun right there. But it's just, I don't know. I'm gonna sit back and watch this one. I'm not gonna bet 36. I'm not gonna take it. I'm not gonna lay it.
Like I said, you know, I'm going to do a little bit more research, but, you know.
That being said, I'm taking Clemson.
The one thing that does concern me right here, like I said, is the fact that Georgia Tech is installing a new offense going up against a Clemson defense. I mean, they're going to get after these guys. I mean,
yeah, and when you like, the point being, whatever type of offense they're trying to install, it will be with players who were recruited for the triple option.
Yeah.
So not exactly the right. They haven't had a recruiting class to get their guys in yet.
Absolutely.
So
maybe they're running the triple option. We don't know.
Just keep it going for a year.
Just keep it rolling. Let's go.
Yeah, maybe it's a ploy.
It's
100% ploy. All right. What about BYU, Utah next week too? You know, another in-state rivalry. Looks like Utah is about a anywhere from 5 to 6.5 point favorite with a total of 47, 48.5 in that area, according to, you know, what I'm looking at right here. It's bouncing around. I see the total. I understand the total in the 47s, and just like the Hawaii game, one of these two teams is not going to score more than 17. I like the game to go under, guys.
Like it under?
Yep.
Yeah, that's a tough one. But you know what? I'm surprised. I wondered. I knew Utah would be favored. I was a little surprised at first when I saw it was like 6. It just shows me that, you know, there's no sleeping at the wheel there, because Utah's a pretty popular pick to win the Pac-12. I don't think so, because they always struggle with Washington. Everyone's got, like, the matchup that bothers them. They couldn't get past Washington last year twice. But they've got a stacked team as far as the Pac-12 goes. I mean, their quarterback – Tyler Huntley was injured most of last year. He's back. But the guy who backed him up got a ton of playing time. He's back as well. So no matter what, they got two gifted quarterbacks, most of their receivers and running backs, and obviously they're known for that fast physical defense, which returns most of their guys. So that's just a tough team. BYU was, you know, underachieving last year, and it remains to be seen if they come back. There used to be a time and place where, boy, you just jump all over BYU as a home dog in this spot. But Utah is just so tough. I wouldn't fade them in this game.
Kyle Whittingham, man. You know what I mean? It's just. Where did Nephi Sewell transfer to? Did he transfer to Utah or BYU?
BYU.
To BYU?
I'm pretty sure, yeah, BYU.
Well, give me Utah, though. It's a different level of athletes at this point, I believe, with Utah. And you're right. You don't. Have you ever been to Provo? You ever seen that stadium? I never went inside. We played some ball there in Spanish Fork right there and drove right by the stadium. And it's an intimidating place right in the mountain, and it's beautiful. It's, you know, and obviously everybody's familiar with it from Utah and coming from Salt Lake to Provo, but it's That's not an easy place to play. That's not fun for any opposition, especially your biggest rival. So I'd be hesitant to lay those points,
especially in a low scoring game. I mean, if you can get upwards of 6 or 7 points, you know, in a total that's 47. You know, if BYU can score 17 points, I mean, you could see us a 24-17 if you're looking to get 7, 24-20. You know, I don't know, 23-17, something like that, Josh.
Yeah, that's one of those things. Kind of, I just at this point don't know if BYU. Yeah, they're a little soft on defense last year. I don't know if they have the personnel to be able to stop Utah consistently. I mean, they just have they've created some wrinkles to where they kind of do a bit of a read option thing. I just athleticism-wise, I just feel like Utah probably going to rack up some big plays. I kind of lean toward them a little bit there, and normally be hesitant in such a spot. But I think the Utes kind of dominate this one.
Where are the Utes picked in the Pac-12 North?
Well, like I said, you know, along with Washington, they're kind of like the co-favorite. I mean, most people are either picking one or the other, you know, to win it.
The Friday game, real quick, Wisconsin versus USF, South Florida. Wisconsin opened up as a 10.5-point favorite. It's moved all the way up to 13.5. So, you know, all the money coming in on Wisconsin. And that kind of makes sense. You know, a very physical, run-dominated Wisconsin team, you know, coming in week one. But, you know, I really can't lay 13 when I could have laid 10, Josh. John?
Right. Well, I agree with that, Ken. And not only that, I need to do a little more research on South Florida because they were really erratic last year. They let me down. I remember I bet on them in the bowl game in their home stadium. They got blown out, and they've been pretty erratic. But Wisconsin is not the team. Well, maybe years past you wouldn't mind, but not this year to lay those points because they have hardly anybody back. They have high turnover. You know, their quarterback, Alex Hornibuck, he transferred to Florida State. They got a new guy behind center, rebuilding on both sides of the line. And, of course, Wisconsin's always five-star guys. It's not like you have to worry about if they're going to be good on the offensive line. But in terms of proven guys, it's only the running back. Jonathan Taylor, the 2,000-yard running back, is basically the only proven player they have on either side. And they were a big, you know, kind of disappointment last year. I just can't see laying two touchdowns with them.
Wisconsin's just a team you never worry about. You're going to get the quality
pretty
much year in and year out. I know what you're saying. They losing a lot
of Outland Trophy finalists.
Yeah, you're losing a lot of name guys, proven guys. But Wisconsin's just a factory as far as that goes. They're never going to be a top five year in, year out, but they're going to be, you know, top 15 year in, year out.
Yeah.
I don't worry about Wisconsin or laying these two touchdowns.
Josh?
And like I said, I just think South Florida is also pretty solid at home. Their athleticism, they're one of those teams that has those always extreme splits. But, you know, we see them here almost every Friday night at home. They're flying around against Memphis or whoever from their conference. And I just wouldn't be surprised to keep them in there. You know, I feel like both sides are going to have a lot of defensive stops. I don't see Wisconsin pulling away with it.
And they're usually not a pull-away team. You know, usually when you get Wisconsin's cover, it's the last second, you know, running the ball, break one,
exactly.
late in the game. So
see, I'm just counting on just pound them into oblivion. Just pound, pound, pound.
Absolutely crazy. So anything you guys like, let's recap real quick. Miami and Florida, the big game of the year, the first game of the year tomorrow night. Very exciting, you know, matchup between in-state rivalries, the University of Miami, University of Florida. Looks like Florida opened up at about a 7.5-point favorite, down to about a 7-point favorite. The total opened up at 47 and has moved all the way up to 50.5. John's already kind of said that he likes Florida in this spot, but to tease him down, to get him into a win situation. I like
him straight up as well.
Yeah, I don't have any interest in Miami. I need to look at a couple of more last-minute things, but I'm kind of leaning towards Florida or pass for me in this spot, John and Josh.
Yeah, similarly, Ken, like you mentioned, I do want to look a little more, you know, at Miami because I've heard the kid they named quarterback is a pretty heralded guy who redshirted last year. He's a redshirt freshman, so he's been on campus 2 years, hasn't seen any game action. I want to see a little bit more about the other personnel they have, but overall I think Florida should have a pretty decent edge in this game.
All right, and go ahead, John.
You're audibly yawning on the show.
I know. Arizona and Hawaii. Arizona laying 11 points. They opened up at 11, up to 12 right now. It actually came back down to 11. So, you know, anywhere from between 11 and 12. Total opened at 70. It's up to 73.5 now. So a 3.5-point move towards the total. You know, the side bouncing around with a 1 point up or down, but a total 3-point move towards the over north. In the Arizona-Hawaii game, Josh?
Yeah, that's one of those, Ken, like I said, I've sort of been going back and forth when it comes to the spread. I'm still somewhat undecided, but I do believe I'm going to take a shot at the over because I just wouldn't be surprised at all if both teams get over 40 points.
Yeah, what else can you do? What else can you do? Nothing.
Yeah. I mean, one team very easily could get 50.
Yeah, like I said, it could be 59-35 Arizona.
Yeah, something like that. UCLA opened up as a three-point dog to Cincinnati, and Cincinnati's moved a full point from 3 to 4.5 too. Josh, and I heard you you kind of echoed the fact that you like Cincinnati a little bit in this spot at home.
Yeah, I think UCLA could be better, but this is sort of, you know, to be proven. I just feel like they're just getting a little too much respect out of the reputation here.
It's going to be interesting. I mean, Chip Kelly, we talked about it. It's year two, year three is when you start really seeing it, but he's obviously getting respect with not only the line, but the total especially. So they expect the Bruins to put up some points.
Clemson opened at 33.5, and the total, or the number went up to full to 36. So a 2.5 point, 33.5 to 36 with all the money coming in, flooding in on Clemson right now. And I can see the move. No interest really in the 36. I would only have Clemson for the fact that Georgia Tech, like we expressed a little bit earlier, is installing a new offense right there. And so this would be Clemson or pass for me, guys.
Well, first ever game on the ACC network, by the way.
Right. And, you know, like I said, obviously my first inclination is going to be to try to find an excuse to take those points. But like you mentioned, Ken, I don't know enough, but there's time, right? So I'm just going to go in, maybe do some reading on, you know, Georgia Tech, see if I can get some videos of practice or whatever, and see if you get a feel. Like, do they have anybody? You know, you can sort of get a feel for what are they saying out there. This is a rebuilding year. They're kind of already mailing it in. But if I get a little feel for Georgia Tech, like they got some halfway decent players, of course I'm going to take those points.
You know, Clemson's, they shut down good offenses, experienced offenses, established offenses.
But they won't care about this. They also kind of –
yeah, but, you know
– Dabo sort of shows,
Josh,
more mercy than
– this is defense.
This is 59-0 Clemson.
That's kind of where I'm thinking, John.
In which case it goes under by a half. That's yeah. What I should
think. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah.
This is 59-0 Clemson.
I think total points scored by Georgia Tech in this game is less than 11. I'm going to make it less than 11.
Could be.
Clemson's officially now the big dog.
I mean, when they play Pitt or whoever in the ACC title game, they usually hold them to 14 or less.
Yeah. And then
that's in the championship.
Real quick, I got to throw this one in. San Jose State playing Northern Colorado. San Jose State, geez. A 10.5-point favorite, guys.
Oh, God. Give me Northern Colorado. Are you kidding me? The Spartans laying double digits to anybody?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Half point over, too. You get 10.5.
What's Northern Colorado's mascot?
I forget. Give
me some
bison.
Bison.
I think, something like
is
that.
It?
Yeah.
He doesn't know.
Sounds about right.
He doesn't know.
I mean, no, that may be it. I believe I used to. You know.
You used to be a bison?
Exactly.
It's a bear.
Okay. See,
would you lay double?
It's a bear.
It's a bear?
Yes.
That's boring.
It's a bear. Everybody has a bear.
Anybody going to lay double digits with the Spartans?
No.
Okay.
I'd rather take my chances on a money line bet with on the Bears of Northern Colorado. Then San Jose State covering by 10. Crazy
stuff. Exactly.
All right, listen, after our next commercial break, we come back. We'll continue handicapping sports on ESPN 94.5 FM. All right, we're back here at the Club Count Evo on ESPN 94.5 FM talking about college football, which kicks off tomorrow. 1 week from today, Nevada. University of Nevada plays the Purdue Boilermakers. I know, I'm very excited. We renewed our skybox, so we'll be down there, John, with a few stipulations.
A few stipulations. It was dangerous.
Dangerously close to not renewing after 40 years.
And then you had
40 years we paid that skybox.
Little meeting with someone important, and stuff changed.
Absolutely. So we're excited to be back in there and supporting the pack again. And next week we'll be coming on a little bit earlier. I'll post a time on our Facebook page at Kenny B ESPN Sports Handicapping. But we'll be coming on a little bit earlier. And then John and I will be heading up to the skybox to watch the home opener. 1 week from tonight, I'm
one
so fired up.
Now, your tune has changed a little bit on the outcome of this game.
I think that Nevada is very live in this game. I talked to I don't know if I should throw out the name who I talked to, you know, but he's very, very, very entwined into the entire athletic department, not just the football team or the basketball team. But
what are the initials of athletic department?
What are the initials? AD. Anyways, with that being said, you're right, John. I made a pretty good size wager when we talked about this earlier in the year when these lines first came out. You could have got Purdue minus 8.5, and I did say at that point that Nevada was uncertain about who was going to be pitching for him this year. So I thought that once the Wise guys got a hold of that information, I thought all the money was going to come in and flood in on Purdue, which it did. Yeah. You know, we named the starter, and then all of a sudden the starter got hurt. So then we were back in the same boat. You know, so I came in. It was at 8.5. I bought it down to 8. I have an enormous wager on Purdue. Excuse me, at -8 for the simple fact that I thought the game was going to move, which it has moved. It's up to 10 right now, a full 2-point move, you know, towards Purdue. And I think that even as it gets closer to the game time, I still think it's going over the 10, and I'll be buying at 11. So I'm looking at 8, 9, 10, and 11, you know, a 2-point side and a 2-point middle, you know, and hopefully. But, you know, like you said, John, I have changed my tune. I think Nevada's going to be in this game to the very end. I think that we have a chance to win this game, you know, Purdue traveling to the West Coast, first game of the year, an altitude game. You know, I just think it's a very winnable game, guys. I really do. And, and from the people that I talk to close to the close to the football team, they do too. Purdue's got some injuries right now. I mean, they've got – and so with that being said, I think Nevada's coming in. They're hungry.
Hungry.
I don't want to – people are probably going to laugh when I say, oh, they're hungry. But I think that they're really out there to prove something. You know, this is Norvell's team now. He's got his athletes in here. He's got his offense instilled in here. And if the Union can protect Carson Strong just a little bit, I think that we're going to be in this game with a great, great chance to win this game.
I believe, I don't know if this is true or not, but I believe that Carson Strong was their guy the whole time. The whole time. From everything I've read about him, everything I've heard about him, he's the prototypical quarterback that they're looking for, size, ability, arm strength, everything that he's the guy. He's a leader. He's the vocal leader. He's a guy that everybody rallies around. And, we heard stuff without naming names from Coach Norvell about the guys in the locker room know who has separated themselves.
Yeah.
He kept saying that. And you're wondering, you know, is it Solano? Is it Malik Henry? Who is it? Is it Carson Strong? And I believe it's been Carson Strong literally the whole time. So,
and he's a redshirt freshman.
Redshirt freshman, and he didn't play his senior year. He
got hurt.
He had a different sort of knee injury. It was a freaky thing, and the fact that Solano got hurt, nobody wants to see that. I'm not sure that Carson Strong would have been the guy the whole time. And for a Northern Nevada quarterback, what better name than Carson Strong?
Absolutely. That's awesome. And John and Josh, but I still think Henry's going to get a chance to.
You're going to see Henry.
You never know what you're going to see either. You might get, he might get out there on the field and just play to the, listen, I did go to Florida State, that talent. Yeah. I mean, that's the quarterback that he was. You know, you have Cornwell that went to Alabama. You know, Alabama isn't a sling it all over the field kind of program.
They are now. But I know what you mean.
But back then, it was let's hand it off to our power running game, right. and then take a shot downfield occasionally. But with
Eddie
that,
Lacy, I got you
exactly. Richardson, and all those guys, But with that being said, this guy went to Florida State with the anticipation that he was going to sling it all around the field. And, he's had some hiccups in his career. But I do think that he's going to get a chance to step on the field. And it's one of those Wally Pitt moments, John and Josh, is that you never – he might wow everybody so much and just separate himself so much that, hey, he might be the guy. Now, does he have 2 years left?
Strong?
No, Malik.
Oh, Malik's got 2 years left.
Yeah, so, wow. So,
and it's a great problem to have, And it's a situation where I really do think that just reading the tea leaves, a little bit that I think that Carson Strong was their guy the whole time. Vacaville product, he was really highly thought of after his junior year. The Wolfpack was the first to give him an offer, hurt himself. He was a great basketball player as well. And the Pack stayed on him, and here he is. And everything I've read about him, you're going to have a positive view anytime you're going to write about a kid like this. But everything I'm reading about him, I think it's awesome, and I can't wait to see what he produces on the field.
I agree with all that.
I haven't been this excited since
for home opener. I mean, for opening
since,
season
since Polian's first year, really.
Yeah.
You know, when the changing of the guard, we're alt guys, but let's see what the next chapter can be. So that's how I feel right now. I think that's pretty much how you feel right now. I think the Pack has a chance to really compete for that division title.
I think they're 30-1 to win the division title too. Something
the division
crazy.
Or the conference
or conference title. Yeah, something like that.
I'm just saying the division, which goes along with it. You play Boise State in the championship. That's what I want to see.
All right, Josh, what do you got, bud?
Ken, I mean, you present, you know, strong case. I'm as curious as anyone. I'd like to see what Nevada looks like. Of course, I want to just, I mean, I've done a little more research. No matter what, you know, first-time quarterback out there, we'll all witness it. Obviously, it's a huge, you know, Big Ten first game ever against a Big Ten opponent, a Friday night home game. Of course, I want to see how he does. We do have decent supporting cast, surrounding weapons in the backfield and wideouts to help support him. So he might be set up for success. But kind of the Purdue side, I've done a little more research on there, too, and it turns out, listen, they got experience. Elijah Sindelar, the quarterback, he's literally a six-year senior. He was injured last year. Remember, he used to split time with the guy who's trying out for the Browns right now, David Blau. The guy had a couple huge games against Nevada. And so Sindelar, you know, did the petition thing for the injury waiver and got it. So he's been on campus. The guy's like 24 years old. I mean, he's been around forever. I think he's 23. Started a handful of games. So he's got the experience that, of course, Nevada doesn't. Rondell Moore is the receiver who's – I mean, he's on the list for Heisman candidates. Yeah, yeah. Of course, he's way down. He's the guy who's sort of, you know, hyped as the second coming,
he's a
basically,
too,
Darren Sproles, right? Type. Yeah, right, yeah. He returns punts, kickoffs, and Davis, H-back. Right? He runs it and catches it. And so that's great, a real explosive playmaker. But on top of that, aside from those two guys, they don't have a lot on the offense in terms of proven running backs. They're a little inexperienced on the offensive line, so we'll see. The good thing for Purdue is they were a little weak on defense. But they came along.
Well, I can tell you,
the day, they have 9 returning defensive starters now, so they'll probably be improved on defense. But they have, well, you know, aside from Rondell Moore, not a lot of playmakers on offense.
Third worst passing defense in all of football, NCAA football last year, Purdue. Third worst defense versus the pass last year, John.
Yeah, and
that's
not a good matchup for Matt Mumme's system. If this is the time when they have their guys in here. And you're like, it's all about the union. As long as the union can protect, PAC's live.
You know, we go back to look at the 2016 game when they played, you know, on September 24th. You know, Nevada loses that game. They go to Purdue and lose that game 24-14. So they only lose by 10 points right there.
That was a close. Remember, too, they were dominating the first half. That was when they gave away.
They gave it away because wasn't there a bad call on a fumble? Was that the game late? Where
there was a late touchdown, too, for the cover. Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
The Northwestern?
No, Purdue. The last time they played Purdue.
The fumble was Northwestern.
Oh, that's right.
Purdue, PAC was up 14-0. Is that right?
Right, I think. Yeah.
And yeah, they
just fell apart.
They just didn't. They stopped scoring.
Right. Yeah. And I think the covering touchdown was like an 80-yarder.
Something crazy. So they've been right there, and you know it's a Big 12 school, but it's not. This ain't Michigan.
Yeah,
and it's ain't Ohio State,
and they're coming all the way across the United States to play it in week.
But also keep in mind they got one other factor to mention. You know, they gave the program a pretty big shot in the arm. Was Jeff Brohm stayed? I mean, their coach was, you know, a huge star at Louisville. He was coveted for their position. They thought for sure it was bailing. Oh, here we go, Purdue. We got to start over again when they just started becoming respectable. For whatever reason, Brohm said, "No, I'm going to stick it out." So of course that gives them a little bit of a boost.
I just want to use. More like per don't. That's all I want. That's all I want to do.
That's all you like to say. I know.
That's all I want to do.
Don't.
So, of course, I'm just glad. Believe I'm thrilled to see the PAC open up with this as opposed to, you know, Cal Poly or whoever else.
No, that's exactly right. And does Purdue have Notre Dame on deck? Is that?
I'm looking. I'm actually looking right now. So give me one second.
I think it's something to that effect.
No, I think it originally we did think that, but I don't think it's.
Why
Notre
did we
Dame.
Think that?
I think that I said that at one time, and I think that everybody else kind of went with it. But
way to mislead everybody, Kenny.
I know. I got you. Remaining schedule. Let me see what we got here. Vanderbilt.
Same thing. They're
bold. Let's look at their next two games. They Vanderbilt and TCU.
And Purdue's got a rough start. I mean,
yeah, and then Minnesota, Penn State, Maryland. So I mean, they're right out of the gun. You know, you might overlook Nevada a little bit right here, guys. I mean, why not? Right?
Is elevation a factor?
I think so. Of course it is. Later in, yeah, absolutely.
And again,
later
Purdue
in the game,
does
sure.
have that extreme home road split. Can I say last year, one of the best, probably the best performance of the year, they boat raced Ohio State, beat them by like 30.
Yeah.
A Saturday night game, Purdue looked invincible, and they turn around and lose to Minnesota by
30. That's what I can't get out of my head is that night.
Either they were the best team in the country that night.
Yeah.
They just were.
Last year they lost to Michigan State, then they beat Ohio State, and then they – which way am I going here? Excuse me. Yeah, that's right. No. They lost to Michigan State the following week. That's right. They beat Ohio State and then lost to Michigan State the following week. Jeez. Yeah, so with that being said, you know, but I think Nevada's going to be in this game, guys. And like you said, John, I have changed my opinion a little bit in this game. So, anyways.
I think we're going to let it all hang out.
So let's real quick before we get into anything else. Josh, are you going to the Aces? Can you believe we can bet minor league baseball? The Aces are -125
right.
today.
We haven't brought that up in a while, by the way.
You can bet I was just Aces looking because you wanted to talk about this, but the Aces are -125 tonight. The total is 13, and the over is -115. So they're looking for the game to go over, but that's not really not the only reason everybody should go to the Aces game. What's a better reason to go to the Aces game tonight, Josh?
Yes, thank you. The reason we're bringing this up.
Josh is so excited.
If I had my
this.
Way, like at this commercial break at 6 o'clock, I would love to be at the gate to be among the first 1,000 to get the epic bobblehead they're giving away tonight. I will say, in the marketing department, whoever thought of this, please give them a raise. A genius idea. But it's about the 9-year anniversary when pretty much the most famous Reno viral video ever came out of Wolfie dancing on the dugout, and then he falls, and it got like a million. It was on SportsCenter. I mean, that's the most epic Reno sports moment ever. They captured it. They actually did a little freeze frame of his fall and put it on a bobblehead.
Yeah.
That's being given out tonight. So I would gladly stood there in the heat to get one, but since I can't, calling on all the listeners, if you have one you're willing to spare, don't worry, I want it for free. I'll pay. But if you got your kids and they'd rather make $20 than mow the lawn and send them send them up here.
You're going to mow their lawn?
We'll do that too. But contact over to ESPN, the Kenny B, you know, handicapping page, and tell us you got one, and I'll come find you and give you the money.
Josh wants to buy some kid's bobblehead doll for $20. So if you get one tonight, you want to sell it. Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping, give us a message, and we'll figure out a way to get Josh's little bob. I want one too. I'll pay $20 too.
Josh, I have an update for you.
All right, good. Well, we'll go to the break and hear about that. But right. Either way, I can get them. Like I said,
I'd be
down there. I've done, believe me, Bruno the Bighorn had one. I stood in line in the freezing cold to get those things. I like good mascots and a good bobblehead. You can't go wrong.
That's a great one. That's
Josh
great
likes
one.
Good mascots and
yeah, good bobblehead.
John, is your update that you might have an in at the game to get you
I have an in at the game. However,
all right.
It's no dice.
All right.
I'll show you.
Well, let's hang tight for real quick. And this is one of the times where we have to go off a little bit earlier, so we have to go to traffic. So when we get back, we'll continue handicapping all these games. See you after these messages on ESPN 94.5 FM. All right, we're back here at the Club Cal Neva on ESPN 94.5 FM. Josh, did you get your Wolfie bobblehead? Did you get a
I showed you guys during the break just how important it is to get one of these because they're pretty epic. Now that you guys have seen it, you have to agree,
amazing.
Right?
It's
a keepsake
that
you have to get. If I don't, obviously I'll be on eBay tomorrow seeing who puts that sucker up there, and I'll make the first bid. But if we do have goodwill, if there's anyone out there who is listening, like I said, not looking for free, or hit me up on Twitter at Josh Nagel. If you procure one of those things and want to get rid of it, I'll happily make you a fair market offer. But yeah, I got to get my hands on one of those because it's a pretty epic bobblehead, and it needs to be added to the collection. It does.
All
you
right.
want one too, Ken, right?
Absolutely. After I saw it, absolutely. Yeah. I do want one. And I'll find one. Browns, Buccaneers playing right now. Looks like
Ken, you're going to find one and then sell it to Josh, aren't you?
No, I need to find two. Yeah, well, we'll see. Browns up 9-0 right now. Starters have played this whole first half. Baker Mayfield, 10 for 24, 72 yards. Jameis Winston, 8 for 16 for only 76 yards. Kareem Hunt's getting some totes in there, too, 5 for 11 yards. You know, Cleveland, you know, everybody's high on Cleveland this year. You know, minute 35 in the second half. All the starters are playing. Cleveland's only up 9-0. Does that surprise you guys a little bit against the Tampa Bay defense that's not good?
It does surprise me because they're going 19-0, so you'd think that they'd be beating the Buccaneers by more than 9 points at this point.
Yeah.
And when they go 19-0 or 16-0 in the regular season, they'll still have a losing record the last 3 years.
Wow.
Well, you'd think so, right? Because I've seen, like you mentioned, the whole – starters playing the whole first half, and they've gotten deep a few times. But just taking a quick look at the TV above our heads here, it looks like every time they get down in there, the Bucs have stood up and forced those field
goals. Baker just threw
so
one
that's why
absolutely up for grabs just there. It fell to the turf.
But it looks like obviously the Bucs haven't done much on offense either. But the defense is tightening inside the red zone.
Bucs are a bet-on team for me going forward. I think that
Jameis Winston?
Well, Bruce Arians is
Bruce
the key.
I almost called him Bruce Arena. That's why I stopped. The old USA soccer coach.
I was going to say they'll probably hire him, too, as often as he's been.
Yeah, I think Bruce Arians is the perfect guy for Jameis Winston.
Well, how come they haven't scored? They got the first-team offense out there.
That's because they're playing the Browns. The Browns are the greatest team in the history of football.
This is reverse psychology,
Have you not
Josh.
Heard?
Being coming from a Steeler, this is all reverse. A Steeler fan, this is all reverse.
Well,
these days,
tiresome.
If you listen to anywhere, that's what you would think.
That's what you're like, oh, my, why are they even playing? Ravens? Yeah, Ravens are no factor. Steelers, no factor. The Browns? This is what we're doing?
Bengals.
Yeah, okay.
Bengals.
Bengals can still just be the Bengals.
Bengals.
But Is there anyone more overlooked? I'm even seeing the Steelers than the Ravens.
I don't buy in the Ravens. I'm not a Lamar Jackson guy.
I'm really not either.
I'm really not. I think that he's going to get his this year. I don't think he has enough arm. I think he's a scrambler and he can run them, but I don't think he has enough arm to keep defense.
He's Cordell
Chargers to you. Showed with that novelty defense. They put all those safeties on the field. Just have, stack your defense with guys that he can't outrun.
Listen, I hope you're right. I'm in no cause to ever defend the Ravens, but I just think it's funny that all of a sudden the Steelers and Ravens are getting slept on in just that division.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's amazing to me.
The Browns have become that big of a story, but they just flashed that Oakland Raiders score. First of all, how about that undefeated preseason for the Raiders so far? I mean, obviously it doesn't matter. They could go 0-16. But you know what's crazy, Ken, about that shortened field last night? I thought this would be more of a story. This is just unheard of. Like, oh, yeah, the goalposts and the field's all shoddy. I thought they might, you can't cancel the game. You went overseas you went out of the country to play it. So you're like, oh, let's just shorten the field. I thought it was unheard of. But I heard most sports books just have never adjusted to that, so they just honored all the bets. I thought for sure.
They honored all the bets?
I thought they would cancel all the bets on the total, Ken, but I looked online.
Honored, didn't pay. Gotcha.
No, I mean, they didn't change them at all. I thought they'd just say no action and everything, 80-yard field. But I heard Caesars, from the stories I read, all major sports books said there was no rule on the books for this, so they just went with it. So I thought for sure they wouldn't let overs hit, but they did.
What was the final score?
22-21.
So it went over.
That was an over.
Still the same width, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
30 yards, is that the width?
30 yards?
Is that the width of a football field?
No. Is what? It? No. Is that? That's a great question.
Pretty sure it is.
The width.
What's the width of a football field?
Look at Josh.
Not know
you got a person.
I'm trying to measure it.
I'm
the
almost
TV.
Positive it's 30 yards. But, might be 35 yards. Anyway.
But regardless, doesn't it seem bizarre? You would just think sportsbooks would say, yeah, this we haven't seen this
Diego,
before.
Diego, you know the answer?
No,
the width
no
of the
action.
Football?
No action in any total.
Somebody
I thought they would just cancel action on the side, too. But
Our snap board guys going to look it up, Diego.
The most important thing is, did you see how Aaron Rodgers arrived at the game?
No.
Air balloon?
In a Canadian tuxedo.
Did he really?
All denim. All denimed out with a mustache, just killing it.
Wow.
Aaron Rodgers is the man.
Detroit Buffalo playing their starters first half two. James Allen, he's only 1-for-3, 14 yards. Matt Stafford, 11-for-15 right now with one touchdown, 129 yards. Detroit leads 10-18 left in the second quarter, 10-7. Nothing there. I mean, I'm just kind of giving these out because, week three is when, John, and we talked about it a little bit yesterday. Week three is kind of the week where you might see a little bit more of the starters because we all know that week four, everybody's on the bench.
Yeah,
everybody's on the bench. So with that, let's go through these games real quick right now. Cardinals, Vikings. Kyler Murray's looked like garbage. I mean, he's not.
Correct.
He hasn't. I'm a little concerned about the Arizona Cardinals this year.
I completely am.
But Minnesota laying 6 with a total of 43. I'm a little concerned about the Cardinals. So, A's fans, keep your fingers crossed. Kyler might be coming home.
Do they still have his rights?
Yeah, I think so. Why wouldn't they?
It's a good point.
You can't do that. Why would you be? But
you're right. If he goes back to baseball, they would have to. But they can't be happy he walked away from the contract. But, yeah, Ken, it's funny because, I did some research on this one too. Minnesota leads the league the preseason in yards per game and points. And it looks like since Kirk Cousins had a pretty bad first year, they're actually trying to go with the spread option deal, and they hired a new offensive coordinator. So Minnesota should be improved on offense. That's why you're seeing a bit of an inflated line because the Cardinals haven't looked so great with that seven, full touchdowns too many in a preseason game. So I'm actually taking the Cardinals in that one. And it's rare that I would actually bet this exhibition game, but John, it's too many points. You get that full touchdown.
Exactly. You get to that point, it's just.
Especially now, John, this is a total public reversal, right? Because they saw Arizona look so bad in that game against the Raiders. Now they're just kind of fading them.
He looked awful.
They only played two series for what it's worth.
Who's that?
For what it's worth, I mean, just like Jimmy G.
Brett Hundley played well. That's the thing.
How do you react to Jimmy G? It's the same thing. It's like, are we.
Yeah, it's hard to say.
Can we trust what you're watching right now in the preseason? But he just looks. I'm not big on size. I've seen Russell Wilson and Drew Brees and these shorter quarterbacks just dominate. So I know Kyler's a little shorter than them.
Yeah, right.
52 yards wide. I was going to say 50.
He looks like he's 15 years old.
Right, and here's the thing, too, and who knows how Kyler Murray turns out, but put it this way, if it's not well,
I hope he's great.
Right, but let's just keep in mind, though, I want to just share the blame here, because if it doesn't work out, I don't think he should be considered the bust. Cliff Kingsbury's the bust. He's the one you hired, a losing coach. At Kaiser, wait, you had Patrick Mahomes and Baker Mayfield and Davis Webb, and you couldn't win 8 games. So, let's hire him to renew our franchise and bring in – Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying.
You got to play some defense.
It's a fair thing to share the responsibility if Kyler Murray doesn't work out. And you're right, he could just go back to baseball.
So if Patrick Mahomes has 15 more of the years he had last year, he's basically the greatest quarterback.
I would
of
say
time.
So. Exactly. I would stop believing that 1 year was a fluke if he does it 10 more years in a row.
Oh my
10
goodness.
To 15.
That game kicks off tomorrow at 10 a.m. Vikings
Cardinals.
It's
real early. Really,
Minnesota 6-43, right around there. Texans.
So would you agree, Kendi, though? It's time to back the dog there just because of the overreaction.
Sure. Absolutely. No doubt about it. Cowboys, Texans. Cowboys at home. It's at AT&T Stadium. Houston is laying one. You could probably find a one anywhere, either side, if you shop with a total of 39.5. I'm looking to bet this game under. I like the game under 39.5. Dallas has trouble scoring in the regular season, usually, let alone in the preseason.
I'd have dreamed that Ezekiel Elliott signed with the Jets.
With the Jets? So they got Bell and Zeke?
Yeah, that's a hell of a two-headed monster. But it's getting late for that.
Ken, what do you
think he's coming.
Way?
I think he's coming.
Didn't they make an offer today?
The Jerry Jones joke, though, do you think?
No, I think it's
either side of that, though. Do you think Zeke had the right to be upset about
no,
that?
No, I think he's just being silly. No, I don't think so at all. I think it's an overreaction.
You know what? It's Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
Cowboy Nation, you can say what the heck he wants.
You know what's funny, too? Because in the aftermath, I see Jones sort of define about that. He goes, I've earned the right to. I would say if you follow the Cowboys enough, because he's defended Elliott at times where not many people were defending him. And he just meant it as a joke. But at the same time, it's funny. If you're in Elliott's shoes, I get being a little miffed by it. But he's still got no leverage in the deal.
But I've said this actually on the show. The stuff that we know about Elliott is bad enough.
Sure.
Who knows what we don't know about Ezekiel?
Plus, he got off pretty scot-free, pushing the security guard at the music festival. It's like there's a lot of stuff he's pretty much gotten away with.
The DJ,
right?
You know,
right.
It's just. Yep. I think that Jerry's like the stuff that we have
helped kept you out of prison for, jail for, covered up.
So,
and they're still going to pay him. So,
and they're going to pay him.
Cowboys, Texans. I like the game under 49 or 39.
And they
and a
should
half.
Pay him.
Colts, Bears. I agree with the running because of the running backs. Colts, Bears. Indy laying 3 in this game. 37. Obviously, Andrew Luck's not going to play. It's going to be a Brissett kind of game here, but no interest here. If I had to wager on this game, Colts cost me money last week. I wouldn't be looking to lay 3 points with the Colts at all. I'd be looking to maybe take some Bear money at +3.
I like the Bears. I like them going forward. I like them in this game. I just the Jacoby Brissett.
Brissett.
Percent. I don't know. Is he going to start week one?
Oh, yeah.
Probably.
I think so.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. Well, think about the last time we had this Andrew Luck stuff. Oh, he'll be ready by week one. Right. He ends up not playing the whole year.
Might be starting week one and week 16.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. Josh.
It's too bad. He's a hell of a talent.
You realize with the Bears, though, we'll see if they actually put some guys on the field. Mitchell Trubisky hasn't played it down yet. Some of these, Rivers hasn't played. Some of these, it's becoming trendier now to just keep the guy out the whole time. I don't know why you would. He's still so young, and Nagy needs to see all his players.
Brady played last night.
But it's one of those deals that, if the starter hasn't taken it down yet, you're very careful because they might hold him out the whole time.
All right, Jets, Saints, Jets at home, Saints laying 3 on the road, totals 42. Give me the Jets all day long here. I have no interest in the Saints laying 3 on the road.
You know who else doesn't? The Saints.
Yeah.
Give me the Jets.
Josh, real quick.
Yeah, I like it, except the only thing is, we'll see some extensive action here. Taysom Hill's been really good in the second half of the Saints this preseason. So it's a thought.
I see that angle. I see your point. Yeah. 49ers and Chiefs, Kansas City at home. Kansas City laid 3.5, totals 45.5. And another game. I tell you what. Jimmy G didn't look too good last game. Hopefully they're going to have to get this under wraps because he really looked bad, John.
Our buddy Booth texts me. He goes, "Jimmy G looks like Jimmy S." So yes, he does. He put it as succinctly as you possibly can. It's hard to say when you've had 4 805s. They better figure out something because
they do. They better.
Did you hear what the Boston reporter said on the on air at KNBR in San Francisco? Says he's renowned for being the worst practice quarterback they've ever seen in New England.
Oh, really?
Right.
So it's It's a thing, man.
He was hurt last year.
He's a good-looking guy that went 6-0 in meaningless games.
I was going to say, you never know, what to make of it. Again, given that last year didn't really count at all. But still, just, it's hard to put that, with a bottle. But, yeah, that stretch with the Niners was just crazy because they were going nowhere, and suddenly they rip off all those wins. And it'd just be hard to kind of characterize that as a fluke, but we'll see.
All right, let's head off to our last commercial break. When we come back, we'll continue on tomorrow's slate and then continue talking maybe a little bit of week one. And I'm sure Josh might have a bobblehead update. So this is the William Hill Sports Show on ESPN 94.5 FM.
All right, welcome back to the last segment of the William Hill Sports Show.
You having a good time there?
ESPN Radio 94.5. I'm looking around the sports book for Ken Barler. He's nowhere in sight. So for the time being, we will take home the final segment here. So before the break, again, we were just talking all sorts of preseason results or whatnot. But, John, I was just checking this thing out. We've had these lines out for a while. I find it curious because we'll see how some of them might move and or be adjusted. But the first game of the year, right, is Bears-Packers on Thursday night. Bears opened up at 3.5. I know that happens to be a flat 3 now. So some monies are coming in the Packers. People are impressed with them. But you know what? Based on what we know about the teams, the Bears were that breakout team, 12 wins. I mean, at least I was surprised at the first year under Matt Nagy. I think that's still Bears there.
Yeah, I do too. And it's the Packers. You just can't trust the Packers. You don't know what you're going to see from
people.
Day.
Just have that hard time, just like fading Tom Brady. People have a hard time betting against Aaron Rodgers. I'm over it. I'll take him here.
I'm not over it. I still it doesn't pop into your head every time that you.
I mean, situationally here on the road, yeah, I would take Chicago. Yeah. At home is a different deal, but yeah.
No, I know. I just loved the Canadian tuxedo so much last night.
I didn't see that, but I still think I still believe it's kind of bizarre that they did, the sports book still just all bets were action. Really surprising.
He's that good. He really is. I think he's a true difference maker, and he's going to be that for a few more years. Until otherwise noted.
Yeah. Well, also, I'm just curious. Packers have a whole new regime. They've got the new coaching staff now, so I'm curious to see how they look and everything.
Exactly. We don't even know.
But some of these other ones, curious to see how these come off the way. I mean, Jets are -3 again. I'm still against the Buffalo Bills. I think the Jets will be better. Of course, they do have Le'Veon. They got some good personnel, but I'm still of the belief that I'd rather have Josh Allen than Sam Darnold. So I'd take Buffalo in that one.
You would? You really don't like Darnold?
I don't. I do believe he's going to go the way of, Jamarcus Russell and or, Matt Leiner, a fellow USC bust.
Like the worst of the worst.
I do believe he's going to be pretty – I think he's headed toward pretty high bustitude status.
I don't see that at all. I think if I have a USC quarterback, I see Matt Castle in his future.
Sort of a journeyman who backs up Tom Brady for 10 years?
Yes.
I don't know.
I'll tell you right now, he's going to be done with the Jets in about 5 years, and then he's going to go – back up Tom Brady for 10 years.
Possibly.
Because Tom Brady is not retiring for another 15 years.
I agree. That whole thing Brady keeps saying, I just want to make it to 45. You wait. 45 is going to become 50. He's going to become 45 and say, I feel great and I'm going to keep going.
Who is this guy?
I know. Because what's funny? In our adult lives, there's been one quarterback of the New England Patriots. It's just obviously we're old enough to remember Drew Bledsoe and Tony Eason. But practically since we became adults.
Scott Zolak.
He's been the starting quarterback of the Patriots for 20 years. I mean, it's crazy. But some of these other ones, for instance, we just mentioned the Andrew Luck thing. Yeah, I think it's likely he's going to be out. You see the Chargers at 3. I believe I don't have the live number in front of me, but I believe it's already up to 3.5 or so. You best believe if it's Brissett or whatever, that line's going to move right away.
So
you could take you could do a little, preemptive investment here and bet on the Chargers if you want. You might get a huge break.
I'd do it with Luck.
Yeah, I mean, that's possible, but obviously it's a huge deal if he's not in there.
Of course it is.
So he's going to be worth a lot to the spread there. And some of the other stuff that – I mean, we've talked about it before. It's already gone up. Browns opened up -5.5. They're already -6 against the Titans. So like you said, is this – is the hype train still some room to jump on that bandwagon? I'll believe it when I see it.
I'll believe it when I see it too. And I was on the Browns last year. I knew they were going to be much improved last year, and they were. But I mean,
yeah, I got burned big time because I lost a lot betting them under 6.
I mean, they're being
wins and they got 7.
They're being talked about like the Patriots and Chiefs right now.
Yeah. I just want to see it happen. There's no doubt. Like in terms of the raw talent, I mean, the way they've drafted and the guys they've acquired and your Odell Beckham's and I mean, no doubt the roster's impressive. But still, keep in mind a first year head coach who hasn't done it before.
First year head coach coaching against Super Bowl winning coaches in John Harbaugh. And Mike Tomlin. So I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I agree. I'm curious to see how that looks. I mean, is 9-7 or 10-6 possible? Sure. But like you said, I'm one of those, you know, they've been in so many headlines and such the key story in the offseason that, I mean, what would they have to do to meet the hype? You know, 12 wins? I'm still wait and see. And I'm still surprised, John, that they're favored to win the division.
Yeah, I don't think
give Pittsburgh the nod.
I don't think
there.
They have to win 12 games. I just think they have to win the division to.
You think they're a justifiable favorite? I mean, until further notice.
Yeah, I mean, I understand why the hype is there. I understand that, you know, with the Steelers losing, you know, two weapons such as A.B. and Le'Veon Bell, why they would be looked upon a little differently. I understand why the Ravens with Lamar Jackson people think may take a step back. It's kind of a perfect storm for the Browns right now. So I see it, but I just, like you said, you really do have to see it in person. You have to until we see the Cleveland Browns on the field, regular season, day one, we'll see what it's all about.
Yeah. And another one that's bound to see some movement, right? We talked about how poor Kyler Murray's looked, and the whole world's seen it. Right here we have the Detroit Lions. They opened up -2.5. You know, that's probably going to go to 3.5, 4, given what, you know, the assessment, the opinion of the Cardinals goes downhill. And that's in Arizona, but nonetheless, you know, if you're of the belief that Murray and company are going to struggle right out of the gate, that 2.5 was a pretty sweet number to jump on. Detroit.
I'll take the Cardinals.
Yeah?
Even whatever we've said about Kyler Murray, they're playing the Lions. I'll take the Cardinals.
Well, what's kind of funny is I could fire up the app here to see what the current number is.
Let me do it. I'll fire up the app.
Oh, Kenny's back.
My phone's locked and I can't get it open, so it is for the time being. The reception in here. I can't.
This reception.
What do you think? We're talking about some week one lines and movements we've seen, other movements we expect to see. Curious what you believe on this one. It's a late game first week. Cowboys -7.5 against the Giants at 46. You know, the Giants have their thing settled by then. Will it be Eli or the new guy?
Oh, it's settled today. They named Eli.
Well, did they?
Named Eli.
So, Ken, but 7.5, this is always a pretty close game. I mean, could you take the Cowboys in the spot? I couldn't.
Cowboys smash this team in week one. Cowboys -7 right now, -7, -120 on the 7, so they're shading it. The money's still coming in on Dallas. Total's 45.5. You know, not only is Beckham not with the Giants, you know, Sterling Shepard, isn't he suspended the first two games, first four games? Yeah, exactly. You know, so really, you know, Dallas's defense is legit, and they're going to be able to shut down Barkley and get in Eli's face. I think that the Giants are I think the whole team is ready for the Giants to turn the page, John. You know, you got Barkley coming
in,
and you got this quarterback waiting in the wings.
Daniel Jones.
Yeah, and
he's looked phenomenal.
Phenomenal. And you know, Dallas,
but it's August.
Dallas at home, and I'm not big on laying a touchdown in a division game like this. But
especially with the Cowboys.
I think if Zeke comes back, it's a shot in the arm. If Zeke doesn't come back, It's still a shot in the arm. It's still a shot in the arm.
Because the backups will be all fired up. Alfred Morris will get his.
No, it's no the rookie. Start. It's the rookie.
Oh, who,
the rookie
who is,
kid.
Who is it?
He's the guy. He's the guy that Jerry.
It's Sherwin Williams.
All right, but nonetheless,
Robert Newhouse.
By the way, so I've successfully fired up the app, and the Lions are still 2.5 here. So I might lock that in on Sportsline now because I do think it's going to grow. At Lions, I would take 2.5 against the Cardinals.
All right, Lions 2.5. What was the other game? Steelers-Patriots, John? Patriots 6. You're weak, John. Your guys.
Patriots suck. Steelers would kill them. Steelers always kill the Patriots, especially in Foxborough.
Yeah, of course.
This is a walkthrough.
Of course.
Absolute walkthrough. Of course. What do you think is going to happen? The Patriots are going to kill them.
Yeah. All right.
Never ends.
What about this game? Raiders-Broncos. Raiders laying 2 at home.
Broncos.
I think so, too. Even though I kind of want Chucky Gruden to turn that thing around.
Chucky Gruden.
You really can't read too much into this. I mean, they look improved, too. Again, I love Jacobs, the running back. It looks like he might
have you marry him.
You know, Derek Carr on board. And who knows, Antonio Brown might actually have his act together. He might be in the starting lineup is what I'm saying.
He's going.
And, but nonetheless, no, it's Denver all the way. God,
Denver
as an underdog in that spot. Yeah.
He doesn't like to practice.
Yeah, Oakland can't be favored in that.
No, I agree. It should be a pick. It absolutely should be a pick. I mean, if you're giving a 3-point home field advantage in this situation, you're saying that basically it's a pick 'em.
Exactly.
Denver
pick 'em on a
-1 at home.
Totally.
Yeah. So
no
with that
way.
Being said, I think Denver's certainly the right side in that spot. certainly the right side. So here we are, guys, a couple of weeks away from week one of the pro football season. Those are some of the games that we spit out right now and kind of let you guys start thinking about. Wolfpack next week plays Purdue. Purdue opened up as an 8.5-point favorite. It's moved all the way to Purdue minus 10 with a total of 59. We'll be at that game too. So a lot of stuff going on tomorrow. The other big games, one big game tomorrow, Miami-Florida versus Florida. We talked about this game a little bit earlier. Florida laying 7 with a total of 46. John likes to, he's going to find a way to tease Florida down to get him into a win situation. And I like the game under the 46. Josh, why don't you weigh in on that game real quick if in case these listeners miss the first half?
That teaser too. I kind of like the Florida minus 1 with Hawaii plus 17 isn't bad, but that just one play on that game, I'm with you, I'd probably take just the under on that one.
Second game tomorrow, Hawaii, Arizona. Arizona travels to Hawaii. Hawaii was 8-6 last year. Arizona's 5-7. Arizona's laying 11 in this game with a total of 73.5. Josh, you kind of weighed in on this. You think that one of the teams is probably going to challenge the 50 mark, the century mark. So you do tend to like this game to go over.
Yeah, exactly. I said, watch, one of those Hawaii games is going to last 6 hours, tons of scoring, I believe. I'm really still kind of stuck on which side I like of the spread. But even though it's a high total, Ken, yeah, it's high for a reason. I really do. I think it goes over, but possibly easily.
All right, 49ers-Chiefs tomorrow, third week of the preseason NFL. Chiefs at home laying 3.5 versus the Niners, totals 45.5. Jimmy G's got to get his act together. He'll probably see a little bit more work tomorrow, but it's probably a pass. I'm just letting the Niner fans basically know, you know, they play tomorrow versus the Chiefs, 5 p.m. Josh?
Yeah, good deal. Like you mentioned, and the Chiefs so far normally wouldn't, you know, lay key numbers or whatever, but they've been covering big numbers in the preseason, so it's worth a look.
Josh, he's a beat writer for Sportsline, so you can get all of Josh's stuff at sportsline.com. He's got a ton of articles there. One of our listeners just texted me, look tomorrow. He likes the Villanova-Colgate game. Villanova-Colgate, he likes the game to go under 40.5. Jesse James sent that out.
See that on the William Hill app, but I'll look.
We can probably find it somewhere. We'll probably find it somewhere. Okay. So he likes Villanova-Colgate game to go under 40.5. We got 30 seconds, Josh. Anything out there that you want to tell us?
Yes.
He wants a bobblehead.
Well, yes, please. Come to me with your Aces bobbleheads. I'll pay cash. But also, Ken, I just saw a little advertisement about it. We do, in fact, have the college pick'em. So seven picks a week, 500. It's here.
All right, and the pro pick'em's up and ready here at the William Hill Sportsbook. So download the William Hill app at www.williamhill.us. Do all your sports wagering with William Hill. We'll be on early next week. Go Pack. See you on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Thanks for joining us for the William Hill Sports Show. Be sure to tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. for all the action. This is KUUB Sun Valley, ESPN Radio 94.5.